Turn your Bibles, please, to the Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. I want to use these verses as a basis for our springboard for my message today. Philippians 3, 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. That is his one thing. I press toward the mark out for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a great priority, number one item, isn't it? Press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a great desire he had. And that's be talking a little bit about resolutions today, and that's a great resolution right there for us to consider that the one thing I want is to please him and get that prize of putting him first and serving him one day when we see the Lord. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity of coming to thee in prayer. Thank you for this privilege of meeting together as your children on this last Sunday of this year. And Lord, just reflecting, Lord, on the goodness of God during the past year. And then, Lord, looking forward to that new year that's before us. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. And may we be encouraged in the goodness of the Lord upon us and be encouraged to trust him for the future. I pray you'd speak to every heart. May the Holy Spirit speak to every heart. Meet every need. Lord, we have many needs here today. Meet every need. Encourage the discouraged. And I pray if somebody that's maybe wandering from the Lord, bring them back into yourself. Somebody here not saved, pray they'd be saved. Come down this aisle to this altar to Jesus before they leave here. And your people, Lord, just I pray you'd bless them and lead them, Lord, in the days that lie ahead of in 1992. May we be faithful to you. Now anoint me as I preach today. Bless these dear people. May they have receptive ears, receptive hearts. May Jesus be glorified, and I pray the devil be defeated, and we'll get our attention centered on him today, on Jesus, and we'll thank you. In his precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, people are making all kinds of resolutions in these closing hours of this year, and as they contemplate the year 1992 that's before us. After all the calories we've consumed the last few days, there are many people making resolutions. I'm going to lose weight this coming year. How many of us have ever made that before? Many of us, most of us probably have, many of us anyway. And that may be a good resolution to make. I just thinking of a little comic strip I saw about a heavy, real pleasantly plump lady up on a scale, and she's real pleasantly plump and had a pistol going to shoot the indicator on that scale. Maybe you feel like that when you get on the scale. But maybe some making the resolution to quit drinking, and that certainly be a great resolution. Quit smoking. The Lord would be pleased with that, I'm sure. You'd probably live longer and save a little money if you would. Maybe some making the resolution to quit watching TV so much. You know, the average American, I understand, watches television between 3 to 4 hours a day. That's phenomenal that people spend that much time before the boob tube. And it might be a good thing for you to make a resolution to cut your hours, be 4 the boob tube this year. Or maybe you're probably far better off if you just cut it out, period. But I was just thinking, don't cut it out before January 1st, because if everybody cut it out, I wouldn't have anybody to watch that Tennessee Vol football game on the 1st. Somebody said amen right there. Got somebody deeply spiritual there. But then there are some positive spiritual resolutions that people are making that you ought to make. Faithful church attendance, certainly that'd be a good resolution to make next year. You ought to, God will bless you if you'd say, Lord, I'm going to have my family in church this year every time the doors open. Oh, listen. The Lord be pleased that resolution. And it bless you and your family, God would. Because you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as we approach the coming Lord, we ought to be in church more, not less. And then, as I've already mentioned, I've encouraged you to read the Bible through in 92. Wouldn't that be a great resolution for our people to make? How many of you are going to attempt to read the Bible through in 92? Raise your hand. Let's just see how many. Isn't that wonderful? Look at there. Look at there. Amen. That's great. I wish many more of you would make the resolution to read God's Word through every day. Every day, just reading the Word of God progressively all through the year. And here I am right now. I've got just a few chapters left in Revelation, and I'll have read the Word of God through another time. And it'll be a great blessing to your heart. That's a great resolution. Maybe you thinking of spending more time in prayer. And what a blessing that will be to spend time in prayer, talking to Jesus. Then might be a good resolution to make to, Lord, help me to win one soul to Christ and get them down the aisle in our church this year. Wouldn't that be a wonderful resolution? And then say, Lord, now you're going to have to do it. And by the way, he has to do it. I can't win a soul. You can't. Only the Lord can really win a soul. Now, he can use us as a mouthpiece to give them the gospel. But only the Lord can save people. We can get them to Jesus. Let him do the saving. So ask the Lord to help you to win a soul to Christ this year. Bring them down the aisle here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. There was a sign on the wall of a church that I read about. And it said this. This was on the wall. It said, look back and praise him. Look up and trust him. Look around and serve him. Look upward and expect him. Now, that would be a wonderful resolution for all of us to make as we start the new year. First of all, look back and praise him. Let's just look at that resolution that was on that church wall, that motto, or whatever you want to call it. First of all, look back and praise him. As we look back over 1991, it's probably a mixed bag for all of us. We have experienced some victories and blessings, certainly we have. We who are God's children, we have many things we can look back and thank God for the victories that he's helped us to win and the blessings of this past year. But also, mixed in with the blessings and victories, we would also have to say this, there have been reversals. There have been disappointments. And yes, there have been defeats. There have been defeats. As 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, listen to this closer now. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul wrote the church at Thessalonica, and he said, I want you to give thanks in everything. Because that's the will of God for you in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I have to admit, that verse is pretty difficult to me. I find it easy to just praise the Lord when everything's going my way, when I'm getting blessed and when I'm having victory. But it's not that easy. In fact, it's hard for me, just like it is you, to praise the Lord when things are not going right for me. And things are not going my way. When defeats come and disappointments come and trials come and troubles come. It's not easy for me. It's hard for me to thank the Lord for it. But that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to thank him in everything. In everything, give thanks. Every one of us this morning ought to praise the Lord for the valleys we've gone through with in this year. And I'll guarantee almost everyone has had some heartaches here. You've had some valley experiences that you have gone through this past year. Never forget an old preacher saying, as he looked back over his life, he said the things, the experiences that brought me closer to the Lord were not the great times of provision and blessing and victory. But he said the things that brought me closer to the Lord were the reversals and the troubles and the trials I had. Because in those, Jesus became more real to me. So those valleys that we went through with last year, we ought to praise the Lord for them. Because in those valleys, if we look to Jesus, he becomes more real to us. And we can prove that he is a wonderful Savior in the times of trial and trouble and tribulation. But then, let me say this. Remember this song Penny Andrews has sung many times in this pulpit right here with the quartet? Thank you, Lord, for the valley. What I walked through today or something like that. But we ought to thank him for the valleys we went through. Because if we look to him through that valley, Jesus brought us through and blessed us and became more real to us. But let's look on the positive side. The Lord has blessed us in many ways this past year with so many good things. And every good and perfect thing comes from above, doesn't it? Cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord showered us with many good things this past year. He brought you through many trials. And then, none of you look too undernourished sitting here today. So that means that the Lord has provided your daily sustenance, your daily food. I just put 3 times 365 on the calculator. And you know how many meals the Lord provided for you last year and for me? Over 1,000. Meals last year the Lord provided. In fact, it was 1,095, and some of us probably had more snacks than that. So we ought to just thank the Lord for all his provision last year. Then think of many of you are on the roads mile after mile every day. And then think of the safety the Lord has given you as you travel. I'm on the road 25 to 30,000 miles a year. The Lord preserved me over these thousands of miles. My dad was killed in a car wreck before he reached my age. And the Lord has preserved me. And my dad never drove a car. Never drove a car in his life. And the Lord has preserved me. He's preserved you this year as we travel. Then also we ought to think of the many opportunities that he's blessed us with to serve him last year. Just think, the Lord has allowed you maybe to teach a Sunday school class or sing in the choir, to usher, to play an instrument, or to teach, or to preach, or go out witnessing. The Lord has given us many opportunities to serve him last year. And folks, it's the greatest thing in the world to serve the Lord. And the Lord's provided many of us with a wonderful opportunity to serve him this past year. And he provided me another year to just preach the Word of God. Some people sometimes feel sorry for preachers. Don't you ever feel sorry for me? I'd rather preach the gospel than do anything else in this world. What a blessing it is just to be able to preach. The rest of my life, just preach the Word of God and lift up Jesus. I can't think of a better way to spend your life than exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? You wait to get over to eternity and you find out what are the priorities of life. And we ought to live for him and serve him and exalt him. Then last year, the Lord gave our country victory in Desert Storm. And that was a great victory. And it looked like America was going to have a bloodbath. And many people prayed, and God gave us a miraculous victory over there in the deserts in Desert Storm. He brought back many of our members safely. And many of your loved ones, God answered your prayer and brought them back. The Lord was good to you last year. You ought to praise him for it. You ought to praise him. that everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We ought to be in the habit of praising the Lord. And then our church has had a good year. We've experienced a good year this year. In October and the first part of November, we had the greatest time of harvest that I've seen in 28 and a half years since I've been here. I mean, for about a 6-week period there, every service, it seemed like somebody gets saved. People called up wanting to get right with the Lord. Come to the church wanting to get right with the Lord. For about a 6-week period, he gave us a great revival. We baptized 24 the night after the revival. And so the Lord gave us a great year. So we have many things in our homes, in our church, in our businesses, and in our country. We have so many things to praise him about as we look back on 1991. But then second in that motto on that church wall or that resolution, look up and trust him. 1992 is before us. And as we approach 1992, it's like an uncharted sea. And we don't know what the future holds for us. But if we're saved, we know who holds the future, don't we? When we get there, the Lord is going to be there. As God's word says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So we need to just look up to the Lord God of heaven and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to lead me and guide me and direct me and see me through 1992. And we need to trust him this year to keep us from falling into sin and preserve our testimony. Folks, a lot of people are falling into sin and wrecking their testimony. You can wreck your testimony that quick. So we need to be on guard and look to the Lord to help us, to preserve us, to keep us from falling. This past year, I had preacher friends fall into sin and wreck their life and wreck their home and wreck their testimony and wreck their lives. Folks, we need to look up to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be true to you and stay true to you and preserve me and keep me from falling and hurting my testimony in 1992. As Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You don't have to sin. You don't have to fall into terrible sin. The Lord is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I don't want to see one casualty at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this year. God help us, folks. Let's look to him and he can preserve us. And we don't want to see anyone become a casualty at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church during the coming year. Then we need to trust him this year for power for service. We need his power upon us this year. It's not by might nor my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We need God's Holy Spirit upon us to help us and empower us for service. As you teach or run a bus or sing or preach or whatever, go out witnessing, or we need his power. Then also, you know, we need his power to be the husbands and the wives we ought to be. You need the Holy Spirit's help, the power of God, to be the husband, men, that you ought to be to your wives this year. You men ought to pray, God, give me power to be the husband I ought to be like Jesus. Husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Some of these characters come around sometimes and say, I don't love my wife anymore. Hogwash. The Bible says you're commanded to love your wife. And also, you ladies, you need power. You need the Holy Spirit's power to be the wife to your husband that you should be in 1992. We need power as parents to be the father and the mother to our children we should be. We ought to pray much. Lord, help me to be the parent. Give me wisdom and give me power. You can read every book that you can read, and you still need God's wisdom and God's help to be the parent that you ought to be. Then we need to trust Him to supply our needs during 1992. I mean, you may have a reversal. You may lose everything you have. Tonight, I'm going to make an announcement about a friend, Brother Bill's back here. He lost everything. Everything. His house burned down once we came home, and his house was burned to the ground. I mean, you don't know what 92 holds for you. We just need to trust the Lord. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall, this is talking to saved people now, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You don't know what you hold, what is out there for you in the future. But we can look to Him that He will supply our needs. And you know what? God never lets His children down when they look to Him. I'm glad of that, aren't you? So I love the song, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. And I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." So we need to look to Him and trust Him to guide us and help us during the coming year. Then a third thing, we need to look around and serve Him, the motto on the wall says. As we look around, all around us at the close of 1991, it's a pretty bleak picture, isn't it? Folks, we're in bad shape in America. The picture is bleak politically. It's bleak economically. It's bleak morally. It's bleak educationally. And it's bleak spiritually in America. I believe we're in the worst crisis we have ever been in the history of our country, morally and spiritually. Crime and violence is an all-time high. America is a drunken nation. I can't believe some of the statistics I looked at in preparing for this message. Here's what these statistics that I looked at. First, over 100 million Americans are drinkers. 100 million drunkards in America. Think about it. And the Bible says, woe to the drunkard. And then there are 30 million Americans who have a drinking problem. And then 9 million Americans are alcoholics. How many people in America now? 250 million? What's the latest figure? That means what? About one out of every 25 or 30 people that you see is an alcoholic. Isn't that sad? And they want to put a liquor store here in Gray, Tennessee. God help us. Let's pray and let's find, and with the help of God, keep that liquor store out. Be up there Thursday night. And if a liquor store comes into Gray, it's going to come in over me, not because of me. Hallelujah. I said before, I feel like getting up there if they do vote to liquor in at the ABC Board of Nashville or up in the commission and tell them that they might put a liquor store in now. But when I'm mayor of Gray Station in the Millennial Kingdom, the first thing I'm going to do is issue an edict or an ordinance to do away with all the liquor and beer joints. Hallelujah. So America's a drunken nation. And then our homes are on the rocks in America. Folks, I don't know where America can stand with our homes going on the rocks because of divorce. In 1920, only 1 in 7 marriages ended in divorce. In 1940, 1 in 6 marriages ended in divorce. In 1960, 1 in 4 ended in divorce. In 1972, 1 in 3, one marriage in 3. Ended in divorce. But in 1990, it's been this way constant, I think, for the last few years, 1 out of every 2 marriages end in divorce. And that is a social and a spiritual tragedy. And I think that it's going to bring America down. Then also, for the last few years, since the Roe v. Wade decision, America, there has been 1.5 million, at least 1.5 million abortions a year in America. And folks, if there was no other thing wrong with America, I believe that's going to bring the judgment of God on our land. I mean, there's a God up in heaven looking down and seeing ladies abort 1.5 million babies a year. God, there's a God in heaven that's not going to let our land get by with it. And then morally, America is at the rock bottom. I'm not going to emphasize that. You know morally all the whoremongering and homosexuality on every hand. And then to cap off all of this, then the churches across this land are backslidden and worldly and have no power. They're cold and dead and lifeless. We are in sad shape spiritually as we look around us. And things do look bad. But for those, even though things are bad all around us, for those who want to serve the Lord, there are needs everywhere. And there are great opportunities as we look around us to serve Jesus Christ in 1992. Jesus said in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The little chorus helps somebody today. Somebody along life's way. Let sorrow be ended, the friendless be friended. Help somebody today. We ought to look around us as we go into 1992 and serve Him and try to help people in time of need. So look back as we go into this year and praise Him. Look up and trust Him to help us and guide us as we go into 92. Then as we go into 92, we need to look around and serve Him. And then in 1992, we need to look up and expect Him to come back. He may come back in 1992. Old Dr. M.R.D. Hahn, founder of the Radio Bible Class, now with the Lord, is one of my favorite Bible teachers. I tried to get all of Dr. D. Hahn's larger books and booklets. I don't have all his little small booklets, but he was one of my favorite Bible teachers. And his motto was, perhaps today. Perhaps today. Dr. D. Hahn, a great man of God, he lived and died with a blessed hope that Jesus may come today. And he may. He didn't come in Dr. D. Hahn's lifetime, but he may come today. And we need to serve him as if he would not come back for 100 years. But then we need to live for him as if he would come back today, because he could come back today. He could come back in a minute. I mean, he could come back and you'd miss that Sunday dinner you got waiting on you at home. It'd be better to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and have a dinner over there today anyway, wouldn't it? Jesus could come today. I believe all the signs around us point to the near return of Jesus, and he could come back in 92. He could come back before 92 even gets here. I believe all the signs. I don't believe one other sign has to take place before Jesus comes back to this earth. I believe everything's already happened. I believe we can look around us and see signs everywhere that say, they cry out, Jesus is coming. In 1948, the greatest prophetical event that has happened in the last 2,000 years, they run the Star of David flag upon the flagpole there in Israel. And Israel became a sovereign nation. Israel back in the land. What a great, great, after many thousands of years, Israel back in the family of nations. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:32-33, you know, I won't spend time on this, but Bible-believing scholars will tell you the fig tree is symbolic of Israel. And Jesus said, when the fig tree starts budding, you know that summer is nigh, even at the doors. I believe that's a great, great sign. And this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Then the great effort being made in the Middle East for peace and other trouble spots is another sign of the end time. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon. Then another interesting thing people are saying that points to the soon return of Christ. Man's number is what in the Word of God? 6. And God's number is what? 7. Okay, how long has man been on this? Now I'm talking to you conservatives and you Bible believers. Now you evolutionists and others may think it's been your many billions of years, which you have no facts to back up. There's no truth. There's no proof that man has been on this earth over 6 to 10,000 years. No proof whatsoever. And as far as we know, the best we can find out, man has been on this earth only 6,000 years. Now, many godly men are saying that man's days are over with. This is the 6,000th year that man has been on this earth. And then godly people, many are saying the next 1,000 years is going to be God's kingdom on this earth, where Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And that is an interesting sign. I believe there's a lot of truth in that. Then another sign is the rise of the European common market. Now I'm just mentioning just briefly these to show you that, folks, it's close. I believe the coming of the Lord's close. This is an exciting sign of the soon appearing of Jesus Christ. Prophetical scholars believe that the Antichrist will achieve world domination through the vehicle of the European common market. And it's over there right now. And it will fulfill Daniel 2, the ten-toed kingdom, the revived Roman Empire. And every day, the European common market's getting stronger, isn't it? Someone told me the other day, I think I read it too, aren't they supposed to have a universal currency in the European common market in what, next year or year after next? Isn't that correct? Who told me that? Someone told me the other day. But it's going to happen sooner or later if it doesn't happen then. But with the collapse of Russia and the deterioration of our society economically, morally, and spiritually, in the future, very near future, the European common market is going to be the great world power, and the Antichrist is going to come on the scene through that revived Roman Empire, the European common market. So that is an exciting sign. And then turn over in your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Turn over right quick. I want to point this out. I've showed it to you before. It's real, it's so important here in what I'm saying today. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, page 1272 in your old Scofield reference Bible, let no man deceive you by any means. Notice now, for that day shall not come, notice now, except there come a falling away first. Now this will happen first before that day comes. Now an interesting thing, see if you have a Scofield reference Bible, there's a little C above next to a falling away first. Look over in the center column there of your Scofield, C there, it says the apostasy. The apostasy. So what Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica, that day will not come except the apostasy come first. And apostasy, unbelief, liberalism, compromise, modernism has riddled every great denomination on the face of the earth. In this century. It's happened in this century. And we are in the Laodicean church age. It is that the Lord told us about in the Revelation chapter 3 there. But one good thing about all this apostasy and all this spiritual darkness and all this unbelief, one good thing about it says Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. And then 2 Timothy 3, 5 says that in the last days, men would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Folks, we have a form of godliness in our churches, and we are denying the power thereof. While most churches are so backslidden and so dead and so worldly, you couldn't stir a revival up with a stick in most churches today. And there's so little power in our churches that it's almost frightening. But that is a sign we're living close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other signs we could give you, but let me just sum it up by saying this. Jesus said in Luke 21, 28, and when these things, notice, begin to come to pass, then he said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption or your Redeemer draweth nigh. Jesus may come back in 1992. Now the question is, are you ready for His coming? Are you saved? Do you know Him? Would you be caught up to be with Him if He had come back? If Jesus would come in the clouds right now, would you be caught up to see Him and be changed into His likeness and be gathered there at the marriage supper of the Lamb in the sky? If you're not saved, you'll be left behind. If you don't know Christ, you'll be left behind. And the Bible says, for those that are left behind, they'll be ushered into the great tribulation period, where the Bible says the moon will turn to blood, the sun will fail to shine, the stars will come unglued out of their sockets, and God will shake this old earth like a fig tree giving up its untimely figs. And the Bible says men of all degree, high and low, kings and servants, slaves, will run to the rocks and the mountains, and they'll cry for them to fall on us to save us from the face and from the wrath of the Lamb. I'd get saved today. I wouldn't enter 1992 without Jesus. I wouldn't go unsaved, friend, if you're not sure you're saved. I'd come and get sure of it today. I wouldn't face 92 without Jesus here this morning. And then if you are a Christian, would you be ashamed if the trumpet would sound right now and you'd have to go out to meet Jesus face to face? As 1 John 2:28 says, now little children, abide in Him. That is, live close to Him. Seek to do His will. Be about the Father's business, abiding in Him and His word and prayer. Abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I don't want to be ashamed when I see my blessed Savior. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Let's bow our heads for prayer. No one moving unless it's absolutely essential. No one looking around. This is serious business in here today. No one looking, no one talking. Everyone looking in your own heart. Bow your head and close your eyes. Everyone. That's right. Go right ahead. Now, I want to help you spiritually. I'm here not just to draw a salary. Oh, listen. I want to help you spiritually. I want to help you. First of all, if you don't know Christ, I want you to come to know Him as a personal Savior. The reality there is in knowing Christ as Savior. And if you are saved, I want you living for Him as we go in looking to Him and trusting Him and serving Him, living close to Him in 1992. How many with heads bowed and eyes could say, Brother Lashley, I'm glad that I can say this morning that I am saved. If Jesus would come back right now, I'd be caught up to meet Him. Raise your hand if you can say that. Just hold your hand right up if you can say that. Hold it up. And then put your hands back down. Most of you can say that. Very few couldn't say that. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. But maybe you couldn't raise your hand saying you're saved. Or maybe you raised your hand and there's that nagging doubt that I don't know where I'm saved. Oh, I'd come and get saved today. Or I'd come and get that blessed assurance. I wouldn't leave here without knowing that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And you can know that. We can point you to Christ and you can leave here with that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Or maybe you're a Christian. You say, preacher, if the Lord would come back, I'd be ashamed. I'm saved, but I'm not living close to Him, doing His will like I should. And God's spoken to my heart today. Whatever the need is, if you need to be saved, or if you need to rededicate your life, whatever it is, God's spoken to you. Pray for me. Just slip your hand right up. Just slip your hand right up. Now, yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Put your hand right back down. Anyone else? Preacher, God's spoken to my heart today. Pray for me. Anyone else? Just slip your hand right up. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Put your hand back down. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to know Christ, know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, ready for the coming of the Lord. Pray for me. Is anyone like that? Anyone like that? Preacher, I'd like to know the greatest thing. Listen, you're going to need Jesus during the coming year. I'd settle it. I'd come and get saved. I'd come and get on my knees, and I'd stay on my knees till I got sure that I was saved or left here. A Christian, maybe you need to come and do business with the Lord today. God's spoken to your heart. Any Christian like that, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. God's spoken to my heart. I am not in the place God wants me to be. Pray for me. Anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe God wants you to join this church today. The Holy Spirit's leading you. You ought to come today and obey the Lord. Whatever God is leading you to do, you obey the Lord. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming back to God's house for another time to worship the Lord and exalt Jesus Christ together as believers. And we thank you for the good songs. Thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for the hope we have in Christ, that he'll either go with us during the coming year, we who know him, or he'll come in the clouds for us. Whatever way, either way it is, Lord, we thank you that we're in your hands and you're going to take care of us. I pray for these that raise their hands, not sure they're saved or need to rededicate their life or whatever it is, Lord. Maybe some here need to join the church. May they come when the invitation's given. Holy Spirit, draw people down this aisle to Jesus and to heaven and to a dedicated life, and we'll thank you. Holy Spirit, you do the work now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What number am I going to say? 270. We're going to stand and sing. I'll be waiting here at the front. If you need to come, if you need to get saved, if you need to rededicate your life or join the church, just come on down. We'll help you. Let's stand and sing. 270. 270. Over here, back here, just move right out. Come down this aisle to Christ. If you want to just come and pray, want to rededicate your life, and you want to do business with the Lord, get saved, whatever it is, join the church, come on. I'll meet you right here and we'll pray with you and help you. Just come right on out, right now as we sing. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse me, spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around for just a moment. Play through softly again, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you ready spiritually for the trials, the problems, the heartaches, and the needs of 1992? If God's speaking to your heart, just come on. Just come on. Get in this altar. Talk to the Lord about it. Come on. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Choir, sing one of the verse. One of the verse. If you're going to come, if no one comes on this verse, we'll be through. If God's spoken to you, come on. The one that raised the hand over here, won't you come? Just slip out and come down to Jesus. As a choir singer, one other verse.